One thing I will say about Peter Glazer is Terry and I had been in Rotary and worked with different things in Rotary. Anytime we've called on Peter, he always has time for us and for Rotary. And Charles Olden told me a story about the year he was president. And he said that he and Peter didn't always see eye to eye, but he said that when he called Peter on the phone, Peter immediately dropped everything and made time for helping Charles in his presidency. And that's just the kind of guy and the kind of Rotarian that Peter Glazer is. So give him a big hand.
Well, thank you, thank you. Before I talk about the rich history of our club, I think it would be interesting if we all knew a little more about the composition of today's audience. So if you have been a Lake Oswego Rotarian for 10 years or longer, please stand up. If you joined in 2008 or before, stand up. So what is that, roughly half the club? Please remain standing if you became a Lake Oswego Rotarian before the millennium, in other words, before the year 2000. Otherwise, please be seated. If you have been a member of this club for more than 25 years, being admitted in 1993 or before, remain standing. And by the way, 1993, that's the year when Peter Journey was allegedly president, followed by me. He traveled so much that most people didn't know he was president. Otherwise, please be seated if you were not before 1993. Okay, so these are the old-timers now. So
get a hand. Great. Cool.
Our club will celebrate its 60th birthday this coming August, and while there are no charter members of our club left in a minute, I'm going to mention Rotarians who are the sons and daughters of early Lake Oswego Rotarians. But first, I want you to join me in recognizing that this club is an all-volunteer organization which each year changes its president. Now, that's a kind of a lack of continuity built into Rotary. Would all past presidents of the Lake Oswego Rotary Club please stand? And Bill, we're even going to let you stand because you didn't pass that longevity tenure. So if you are a past president of Lake Oswego Rotary, that's Peter Stitt, Paul Graham, Andrew Edwards, Peter Journey, Chris Clancy, Bill Warner, Phil Engstrom, Charles Oldham, Ken Ivey, Mark Burge, Mary Puskas, Sharon Starr, Charles Collins, Carol Winston, Chuck O'Leary, Roger May, Malcolm Mathis, Alan Bazaz, Terry Childress, and Rob Le Chevalier, a.k.a. Buckley. I've been a member of this club for almost 34 years. I'm our club's historian because I've been around a long time, I'm upright, and I might have an infallible memory. And if it's not infallible, at least I've been known to be creative when there's something I don't remember. For the record, I have not been around as long as Paul Graham, 1977, Dr. John Tung, 1978, Andrew Edwards, Don Burdick, and Vic Keeler, all 1982, Roger May, 1983. And there are two other Rotarians, Pete Stitt and Peter Journey, who joined Rotary before I did, but they have interrupted service. They were members, they moved away, and later they returned to rejoin our club. And by the way, there are a few other Lake Oswego Rotarians with interrupted service, including Charles Collins, Malcolm Mathis, Mary Puskas, and Kevin Brendan, and there might be more that I'm forgetting, but that's led three out of four of those people to be presidents of our club. My sponsor, Dr. John Tung, is one of our club's second-generation Lake Oswego Rotarians. John is the son-in-law of the late Dr. Paul Klein. Other second-generation Rotarians in our club include Paul Graham, son of Wally Graham, both of whom were president. Pete Stitt, the son of charter member Lee Stitt. And there's a notice of Lee's death when Lee died. Both of them were president. Candace Jennings, the daughter of Grant Jennings. Barb Thompson. Where's Barb? There you are. Daughter of charter member Roy Thompson, and I have Roy's proposal card from way back when. Liz Gage, are you here?
Yeah.
Daughter of Rick Gage. Roger May, are you here?
Yes.
Son of Earl May. Scott Havens, are you here?
No.
Yeah, sure, because he's in line to become president. He's the disappearing act. Scott Havens is the son of Jack Havens. Our club was chartered in August of 1958, and as you'll see, it was the Rotary Club of Oregon City that sponsored us. Back then, and for 29 years, Rotary Clubs around the world were made up only of men. Wives of Rotarians joined together in their own organization, once known as the Rotary Hands, and later as Women of Rotary. But Rotarians were exclusively male until, prodded by us baby boomers, and with gentle persuasion from the U.S. Supreme Court, Rotary finally entered the 20th century in 1987. I don't know every place where our club held its meetings in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, but like many Rotary clubs, Lake Oswego Rotary bounced around from restaurant to restaurant. One was the Pinafore. And before the relationship began with Lakewood Center and our club, the last restaurant our club met at was Horst Mager's The Odyssey. Who remembers The Odyssey? State Street, overlooking Lakewood Bay, where Sundaleaf Park is now. And if you've been in Lake Oswego for a decade or more, you remember that building as being U.S. Bank's branch alongside State Street on Lakewood Bay. I've read some of the minutes of meetings from the 1960s and 70s. It is fair to say that Lake Oswego Rotary Club was then a lot like a lot of Rotary clubs that you may have visited, relatively small and struggling to raise money to do all the good work the club wants to do. Is that the minutes? There we go. So look how much money they had in the bank, about $1,200. I think that was their annual revenue. If you've heard the story of a young man approaching our club's leaders in 1979 or 1980 looking for a contribution of $20,000 to help purchase the closed down Lakewood School as a place for an art center, you know that club leaders laughed in a polite way and told Bill Headley that their club only raised a couple $1,000s a year by holding a once a year rose sale where everybody took boxes of roses and tried to get everybody they knew, every relative, every friend, to pay an overcharge, $25 for a dozen roses that died in 3 days. Not that other Rotary clubs don't still do that, and we buy them. But the once-a-year rose sale was all they had to generate revenue, and they would never have $20,000 to donate to anything. But today, because of the profound good fortune and hard work over the past 37 years, our club is one of a kind. We stand out among Rotary clubs because thanks to pure luck that led to our club members helping to create Lakewood Center and the nurturing of that relationship over 37 years, we benefit from an annual fundraiser, the Lobster Feed, that raises more money than any Rotary club I've heard of west of the Mississippi River. Our Lobster Feed and your club is the envy of every other Rotary club. Can you recognize Chris Clancy and Peter Journey when they were younger?
We're still young.
Yeah, that's what I say. Younger. You were younger then. Our partnership with Lakewood Center has made us unusual in another respect. We have met at the same location for about 35 years, which is rare in a world where Rotary clubs meet at a restaurant or a hotel until, for any number of reasons, they have to change their meeting location. Our club has enjoyed stability that is the envy of other Rotary clubs. Our club has a long history of having fun, lively meetings. We have a long history of poking fun and laughing. We've had sergeants at arms who worked hard to have fun and raise some money. Sergeant Mark Waller once brought in a dummy on a gurney from an ambulance he had parked outside on Middlecrest. Sergeant Bob Bigelow emerged from the back of this room one Monday in Japanese samurai warrior garb. Unfortunately, that was the day a Rotary group exchange of Japanese businessmen was visiting. They didn't seem to think that Bob's warrior costume and sword were as funny as Bob did. And Bill Warner wore a blue dress one day and on other days put on his favorite baby blue leisure suit left over from the 1970s. Or was it at the holiday party that you wore your blue dress, Bill? And here's Bill Koratch with what was probably some R-rated sergeant time. Bill's politically incorrect questions might not fare so well these days. Me too. A sense of humor is always a good thing to bring with you to a Lake Oswego Rotary Club meeting. And back to Bob Bigelow for a minute. Here is Bob on the left in his Carmack the Great headgear, shown in this photo with then-President Bill Warner wearing his favorite hat. Don't think of him as a guy that always wants a beret during the Lake Oswego hat. Think of him as a guy wearing a dunce cap. And he doesn't get, there's no time left over. Another longtime feature of our club is a culture of humility combined with extraordinary generosity. We are proud of our accomplishments, and if there's credit for good work, historically we share it as though we all did it. Lake Oswego Rotarians do not seek individual credit. And so it was that for many years our club did not allow members to buy Paul Harris fellowships. Our club had no Paul Harris fellows for its first 16 years, and then in 1974, Pete Stid's dad, Lee Stid, was given our club's first Paul Harris fellowship. Lee Stid was a former mayor and the second president of our club. And by the end of the 1970s, we had a total of six Paul Harris fellows. In 1988, our club honored 24 Rotarians with Paul Harris fellowships. And how could we do that? Because this club's members had been extraordinarily generous when Rotary International launched its campaign to eradicate polio. At that time, Rotary thought it would take a lot of money and a few years to rid the world of polio. Little did anyone know that it would take lots and lots of money and more than 30 years. Our club had about 100 members back then, and in just 1 year, members of this club contributed over $41,000, an average of more than $400 from each single member of this club. And that's back when a dollar was worth three times today's dollar, so it's the equivalent of each member of our club today contributing $1,200, and with a club this size, raising about $200,000 in cash donations from each and every member of the club in just 12 months. Imagine that. Leading that campaign in 1988 was a legendary Rotarian, former mayor, and beloved Lake Oswegan, Harold Campbell, who closed almost every request for money with words that I hope you will never forget. "I don't want you to give until it hurts," Harold would say. "I want you to give until it feels good." Speaking of money, our club has been generous with Oswego Heritage Council, Clackamas Women's Services, CASA, Lake Oswego Meals Network, Lake Oswego Reads, the Food Pantry, and other community organizations with college scholarships, dictionaries, ambulances and water projects, and schooling in Latin America and Africa, microloan programs, grants benefiting children and women around the world, and projects here in our community, such as the shelter we built in Bryant Woods Park, and the bandstand that Lake Oswego Rotarians worked on recently in George Rogers Park. Hundreds of thousands of dollars in money spent locally and globally, and virtually every dollar was the result of our annual lobster feed. It would be at our peril if any of us took the lobster feed for granted. For decades, Lake Oswego Rotarians enjoyed four parties a year. which were free to Rotarians and their spouses. We had summer parties at Omar Knowles' home on the Willamette River. We had spring, summer, fall, and holiday parties each year, all free because our dues paid for them. And by the way, dues have kept increasing over the years, but somewhere along the line, about a decade ago, it was decided that dues would not be used to make parties free or low cost. Turnout used to be high at our four parties a year, and they were a great way to get to know fellow Rotarians and spouses. At one of our parties, a special icebreaker game had been devised where each Rotarian was encouraged to talk to other Rotarians that we did not know very well. A party organizer had called every Rotarian in advance or talked to the Rotarian spouse and asked for some obscure fact about that Rotarian that most people would not know. The game was, of course, to encourage conversation and discover that little-known gem, that fact, about each Lake Oswego Rotarian. And there were some amazing facts that we learned. Lake Oswego Rotarian Fran Saunders had been the inventor of the McDonald's hash brown. Now, I used to think that was really cool when my kids were 4 and 6, and we went there, I don't know, 6 days a week, I think. In Chicago in the days of Prohibition, John Peterson had been an usher in a movie theater and one day escorted gangster Al Capone to his seat. And in college, John Peterson, then known as Pistol Pete, had been the bootleg liquor distributor on campus when his supplier asked him to try selling a new product, condoms. And if you have not heard that story, ask me when we get to questions. These and other tidbits led to some fabulous programs by members who shared their interesting lives. One of the things that most impressed me about Lake Oswego Rotary when I joined, and when John Tung brought me as his guest at the very beginning, was the tolerance of all Rotarians to others' viewpoints. Everyone came together as community leaders with different backgrounds and political views, and we had lunch as friends, talked and listened to each other, and heard viewpoints that might differ from our own. That tolerance has long been the culture of this club, and it is consistent with Rotary International's policy. Rotary International doesn't discourage political discussion. It prohibits endorsing candidates, and it promotes equal time and fairness if you're going to bring elected officials and candidates into the meetings. But it recognizes that Rotarians are community leaders, and political discussions are to be expected among community leaders. For years, this was the best forum in Lake Oswego for two candidates for mayor to make a joint appearance, and we were the venue of choice when Oregon's U.S. senators wanted to speak. And while I believe there was an effort to do away with that 6 or 7 years ago, it seems to have come back, as evidenced by recent programs where we heard from our Congressman Kurt Schrader and former U.S. Senator Bob Packwood. When our club was formed in 1958, and for probably the next 50 years, Rotary's policy required a diversity of occupations. Rotary was formed in 1905 by several men of different occupations, led by lawyer Paul Harris. Professionals of different backgrounds could exchange ideas, learn more about each other's work, and make lifetime friendships. Rotary promoted the idea that if we learned more about each other's occupations, we would come to understand and value those occupations. So by getting to know a used car salesman, for example, we debunked the idea that that was not a worthy occupation. Sandy Thorne. Some very worthy occupations have been looked down upon at times, but Rotarians learned that if they got to know what a banker or a financial planner or a chiropractor did in her job, they would gain appreciation and respect for the occupation and see its value to society. Under Rotary's classification system for decades, Rotary insisted that each club assign a classification to each new member, and Rotary prohibited more than one Rotarian in a club from having the same classification. There would be one lawyer, one doctor, one dentist, one realtor. That is why, years ago, it was said that the best lawyer, the best banker, the best dry cleaner was in the local Rotary Club. Our club was always more liberal than many, I think, and we admitted numerous bankers, numerous real estate agents, even a few lawyers, because subclassifications would be dreamt up, like banking-commercial, banking-business, or maybe banking-fees. But who here knows which profession had far and away the most members of our club for a long, long time? Dentists, that's exactly right. So go out and recruit a few more dentists. I think we're down on our dentist population. We've got lots of realtors and lots of lawyers, maybe. It has now been 30 years since the first four women were admitted to our club, and one is still a member today, Dee Denton. The other three of our first four women members, in case you are interested and some of you will remember, were Alice Schlenker, who at the time was running for mayor, was supported by a lot of men, including some who opposed letting women become members of Rotary. Susan Corey, public affairs manager for the phone company, and Polly Jones, who owned a real estate firm in town. And as long as I'm mentioning Dee Denton, that brings to mind that Dee is one of eight Lake Oswego Rotarians for whom we, as a group of their fellow Rotarians, have hosted 90th birthday parties. The first one was in July of 2000 for Walter Durham, great-grandson of the founder of Lake Oswego, namesake of Durham, Oregon, followed 6 months later by Harold Campbell. Many of you remember John Peterson, George Mackin, Jim Meese, who are gone, and Dee Denton, Phil Engstrom, and Harry Meader, whose 90th birthdays we celebrated in the last 2 years. I know that Phil is here, or if Dee and Harry are here too, I'd like everybody to recognize those in our club who are 90 years old or better. And now I have a few other random thoughts, less organized, if you could tell there was some organization to that last part. But 30 years ago, Cruiseway Rotary was formed by a member of our club who left to start the new club, and he was Earl May, Roger's father, and our club leadership was not happy. And back then, Rotary clubs had geographic territory. Our club had all of Lake Oswego, I'm sure, and our club refused. No, that's not the one. That's probably the letter.
How about this one, Peter?
Our club refused to relinquish any of its territory, at least until pressured or overruled or whatever they did, because obviously they formed Cruiseway Rotary. The next slide. Andrew Edwards was once young. Here's a photo of Andrew along with legendary Rotarian Bill Headley and the late Susan Corey, who was one of the first four women in our club. For most of our club history, we heard classification talks from our members. These were fundamental in Rotary clubs because they demonstrated the commitment of our founder, Paul Harris, to learning about the professions and occupations of others. And at times, the format was for two Rotarians to be assigned to meet. They'd go have lunch or they'd have coffee, and then at a later Rotary meeting, each would inform club members about the others' work, education, family, and hobbies. And the only one I really remember is Carol Winston. Does anybody remember Carol Winston's classification talk, or the one about her, where they talked about the fact that she didn't realize her one-way window into her bathroom in her shower was one-way, not reflective from the outside, reflective from the inside? She made a point of telling that story more than once, but the first time I heard it was her classification talk. Ken Ivey, I'm pretty sure this was your year, so perk your ears up. Wake up, Ken Ivey. It was September 2001, and after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, Tom McGinnis went to the Portland Islamic Center and arranged for some people to come and speak at Rotary to show that we were all Americans. Their October 8, 2001 program was a disaster. The guest speakers refused to shake hands with any women. They refused to stand or recite the Pledge of Allegiance. And as it turned out, one of them was a terrorist who was then convicted in U.S. District Court of federal terrorism charges. A special issue of the Spokesman was published containing some excerpts of comments by Lake Oswego Rotarians. I'm not sure what you can read. And it's not redacted, but it's kind of small, I'm sure. But Ivy Bear, was that your year?
That was Charlie
Oldham's
year.
Oh, Charles Oldham's year. Okay. Well, so maybe Ken was probably, were you his vice president? So Ken was the guy that arranged. But for a few years, we shared restaurant ideas with our fellow Rotarians. So Bill's going to show you an example of an article in the Spokesman by Bill Warner. Note that Bill Warner recommended Doris's for soul food and some other place that he called unique and eclectic, while Tom McGinnis recommended Chuck E. Cheese. For years, our club gave away door prize at every meeting. Not sure why that stopped. These were white elephants or small items that each of us had to bring in once every couple years in a rotation. The weekly spokesman reminded those who were to bring a door prize to an upcoming meeting. Okay, why don't you show that next slide, even though it doesn't say so right now. For most of our club's history, we brought in our new president and bid farewell to our outgoing president at our first Rotary meeting in July, the noon meeting, just like this. No fancy evening gathering. As you might imagine, it was particularly traumatic when we were losing a beloved president like Chris Clancy, our first female president, and trying to fill her shoes with a new president from Iowa, like Bill Warner. So I hope you can read this. Maybe you can't. Maybe up close you can read it. So it has on it, among other things, a big article with a tribute by Bob Bigelow to Chris Clancy. And I can't believe some of the things that Bob Bigelow wrote in his tribute. Now, Chris, tell me whether any of these are true. A lot had been said all year about Chris's ever-changing hair color. Many shades of red. But, Chris Clancy, did I really give you a month's supply of groceries and household items, each and every one of them red?
No.
Okay. Bob Bigelow said I did. Did Bob Bigelow really, because your philosophy was that all affected people have a lot of heart,
no.
Did Bob Bigelow really present you a packet of Chinese heart bracelets and suggest that you always have a heart on for Rotary? Is that true? That part's true. Okay. And did Chuck Bowman really present you a rainbow-colored wig saying that it would go with anything? Yeah. We used to have four parties a year. Also back in an era when apparently color wasn't what we recognize color photography to be today. We used to have those four parties a year, and this was one of those river cruises on the Willamette, on the Crystal Dolphin, a little ship that we filled to capacity each time. Now, can you recognize at least three people in that photograph? Sharon Starr, Doug Jost, and Bill Warner. And nobody can figure out who the two on the right are. But, well, Warner, you should know. Jost should know. You're next to them. For many years, our club made an effort to connect Rotarians in a pre-social media world, and one was with profiles that ran in each issue of the Spokesman. And Bill has three different profiles. I can't remember who they are. Can you guys read them?
Kevin
Yeah, okay. Anyway, next slide. To celebrate his 50th birthday, Dr. Hank Robb got down on this very floor and did 50 push-ups. Now he's 72. Hank, would you like to come up here? For about a decade, from 1985 to 95 or so, our club was known throughout Lake Oswego and Westland for a team triathlon event that we put on. Name of?
Gallivant.
Participants ranged from serious athletes to families with young children. It was called the Gallivant, and it was a team triathlon. The six-person teams were three runners, a bicyclist, and two canoeists. The course took the runners from over in Lake Grove to George Rogers Park and in a relay of the three, and then a bicyclist rode from George Rogers Park up to the Cedar Oak boat landing in Westland, and then the two canoeists paddled the Willamette back to George Rogers Park. And that was an event that was a event that got a lot of publicity, had a lot of people that liked it, had about 500 participants a year, and made about that much money. And people kept going, why are we putting all this energy into this thing when we have this other thing called the lobster feed that takes about as much energy? And I don't know, back then it might have grossed $100,000. In any event, 129.51. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter Glazer, for that history. Fabulous. I've been away, and while I was away, the staff went ahead and bought a book for a Rotarian anyway, against our policy, our better nature. And Peter, in your name, Bill Bentley, Smithsonian Rock and Roll, live and unseen. Thank you for rocking and rolling the whole thing here. Really appreciate it. Happy New Year, everyone. Happy 2018.